Welcome to Reset Your Mindset with Angie C. I'm super excited to have you here today to share inspirational stories from entrepreneurs around the world that provide you with valuable lessons and mindset strategies to enable you to play the game of life your way. Charging what you're worth, I guess that comes down to the mindset.
Yeah, I mean, I always say that everything in business, in fact, all of my programs, all of my online courses, all of my coaching and training programs, they all start with mindset.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to skip right to the strategy. But the truth is that, you know, you can have the best strategy in the world, mm-hmm. but if you don't have the mindset to build everything upon, and the mindset definitely encompasses the persistence and the perseverance, the self-worth, and the ability to overcome your fear and take imperfect action. Mm. And most of your success or failure as an entrepreneur lies in that.
Yeah.
Like all the strategies are teachable.
Mm-hmm.
All the skills are learnable, yeah. but the mindset really is the baseline on which everything else is built.
Mm. Well said. Yeah. So what are the critical things people need to have in terms of the mindset? So if someone's not getting the results that they want, how would you explain to them how to shift their mindset? Like what would be the key things they
Perfect.
Need yeah, for the mindset?
Yes. Yes. So no, that's absolutely the perfect question. So really where it starts is, you know, Angelina, it's about you valuing what you do.
Mm.
Because first and foremost, you must be able to value what you do.
Yeah.
The value that you place on what you do is, of course, going to dictate what you can charge with a straight face and get from your clients.
Mm.
You know, why is it that, you know, some coaches and trainers charge $10,000 a day
yeah.
and some charge $200 a day?
Mm.
In many instances, they have the same talent, the same skill set, the same experience, the same background. But one can quantify in their mind the fact that if they touch people one day with one strategy and one shift that they know when that is rolled out to the business can have $1 million plus impact,
yeah.
they have no problem charging $10,000 for a day.
Mm.
While the other person may be thinking to themselves, how could I ever charge $10,000 for a day? You know, people get paid, you know, $50 an hour to work all day. How could I charge $10,000?
Yeah.
So do you see that shift in the mindset? One's focused on the value that they're bringing to the world and the end result that they create for others.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, setting a price that they feel confident about and passionate about based on what they feel they deserve for the work that they do and the impact that they're making.
Yeah.
The other person is setting a price and comparing that price to, you know, what people make for an hourly job. They're not looking at it in the contrast and in the framework of the impact and the value of what it is that they deliver. So what I say is, first and foremost, you must value what you do.
Yes.
And secondly, you must take the time to quantify the impact of what you do.
Mm.
To quantify the impact of what you do.
Yes.
No one takes the time to do it.
No.
So, of course, they have a hard time explaining to potential customers
mm.
why they should spend the money because they haven't done the homework themselves
that makes sense.
To quantify the value of the impact that they make. So when you do that and you have that, and I do this exercise with clients, you know,
yep.
when you have that sitting on a piece of paper in front of you in black and white, and you know that over the course of weeks, months, or years, this work that you're doing with them is going to have X amount of impact, it's very easy for you to raise your rates and charge significantly more and, you know, get what you're worth for what you're doing, because not only do you see the value of it, but you have black and white tangible evidence that backs up and gives you confidence of the value of the work that you're doing. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. How does one do that though? So for example, say you've got an entrepreneur starting out in their business and they've just created their online programs and they've got their coaching programs ready to go out to corporate organizations. How do they actually quantify before they go out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a couple of different ways that you can use kind of proof of concept when you're just getting started.
Yes.
You know, definitely I feel that case studies and testimonials are one of the most important, if not the most important, marketing tools. You know, we use testimonials in everything that we do because it's always more powerful to have someone else say it than it is for you to say it.
Agreed.
So you have to ask yourself, what's the fastest, easiest way for you to get a case study of the work that you do? You know, number one, you can find someone that is, you know, willing and able and positioned to utilize your tool or your resource or your consulting or whatever, and you can take them on as a beta client so that you can get that testimonial really, really quickly by doing the work and seeing the impact and then being able to share that with the world. Number two, you can also share proof of concept and value by association. And what I mean by that is, for example, there are statistics and information that you can find in pretty much every arena out there on the impact of something. Like, for example, I happen to be in the consulting field. Well, I know that studies by various, you know, large organizations around the world have been done, and it has been proven that organizations that invest in executive consulting on average get a 700% return on investment. So it doesn't even, so for someone new, what I would say is two things. Number one, you got to get out there and you got to hustle and you got to take on a beta client and you need to prove your concept and you need to do the work and get someone results so that you do have a testimonial. That's number one. And then number two is use proof of concept and show value by association by using statistics and information that's already readily available and research that's already been done for you that shows when you do X, Y, and Z, here is the value of that. Here is the impact that that makes. Does that does that help?
Yeah, most definitely. That's great. And they're very easy, straightforward ways really to do it.
Exactly. And anyone can do that. Anyone can do that. And you have to remember, everyone, that's where everyone starts.
That's
I just put a video out today on my Facebook page about not comparing yourself to others and understanding that when you look at someone else's business, you know, not only are you looking at their highlight reel when you see what's on Facebook or what they're marketing or whatever the case, but you're looking at their chapter 20. You cannot compare that their chapter 20 to your chapter one. So realize that, you know, Tony Robbins, who's my number one mentor and the person I look up to the most from a business perspective, shares all the time about how when he was going out and giving these success seminars about how people could make $1 million in business and do X, Y, and Z and blah, 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 he was driving like a 30-year-old beater and wearing a jumpsuit and, you know, didn't have the money to even pull together an appropriate outfit to wear. Like, he talks about that. And you know what? Everyone starts somewhere. So just get out there and do the work, get started, be scrappy, be, you know, resourceful. And if you want it bad enough, you will find a way.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. Most definitely. That's awesome. Almost like Eric Thomas. I love that quote. He always says, if you want it as badly as you want to breathe, you'll do it.
Yeah. And that's it. And we all need that. You know, we all need to be that way because there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, Angelina, and that is freedom. And you know, freedom financially, freedom of time, freedom to live the life that you believe that you deserve, freedom to pursue your dreams. But there is a price. There is a price to pay, and that's why more than 80% of businesses fail, because there is a price to pay, and it does take discipline, and it's not easy. And I think sometimes with the internet, business growth is oversimplified. And we want instant gratification in something that is a lifelong journey of learning and testing and persevering and overcoming obstacles. And that's the part that no one sees and no one talks about. But I always try to talk about it because I think it's so important for the person that's sitting there struggling, that's maybe listening to this today or reading your article or whatever the case, to know that I was there, you were there, we were all there.
Yes.
We've all been there. We're all in this together. You know what I mean?
I do. I certainly do. Oh, some amazing things that you just said there. Way too many for me to repeat, but that, yeah, that is incredible. And you're right, not everyone lasts the distance. And, yeah, the focus isn't on the long term, it's that short term. And that's quite often how people end up giving up, unfortunately.
Exactly. And that's why, Angelina, that's why I talk about pricing so frequently. It's why I'm so, so passionate about people charging what they're worth. Yeah. Because most businesses start off in some capacity selling one-to-one, whether it is in coaching and consulting or whether it is single product to consumer or whatever business is in, typically you're starting off doing selling one-to-one. Yeah. So the only way that you can make the big leap to scale, to invest in team, to do advertising, to get the facility and the resources and the coaching and all the things that you will need to make the big leap to scale your business is if, number one, you don't burn yourself out. Which the number one reason for business failure and entrepreneur burnout is absolutely, without a doubt, a lack of profitable sales.
Yeah.
And number two, you have to be making money in order to invest money in your business, because it does take money to make money in business. No one wants to talk about it. I talk about it because I think it's important for people to know. It costs money to build a profitable business.
Yeah, it does.
And so that's why I talk about pricing all the time, because you can have one person, Angelina, that's working 10 hours a week, make $1,000 an hour, and you can have another person that's working 80 hours a week that's taking home almost nothing.
Yeah, that's
and so much of that simply comes down to, do you start with the end in mind? How are you creating and packaging your product or your service? And how are you placing value? And what value are you placing on the work that you're doing and the impact that you're making on the world?
Yeah, and that does require a mindset shift. If you're not already thinking like that, if your mind is thinking too small, or you, like I said, you're doing the comparison game or thinking that you're not worth a certain amount, you just charge a very small amount and it will take you a long time to get where you want to go. Or you'll give up because you just don't have the funds to continue. So
that's right.
All right. So just so I'm clear, so the critical keys for the mindset. So firstly, it's about valuing what you do. Secondly, it's about quantifying the impact of what you do. And then what would you call the third one? So we sort of started off talking about not comparing yourself, but then you're saying being resourceful, the pot of gold, freedom, not giving up. What do you want to call that?
Well, you know, I think, and after you quantify the value of what you do and place the worth on it, I think that you have to be willing to kind of stand in your truth and own it, right? You have to be willing to promote it. You have to be willing to charge it. You have to be willing to take imperfect action. I see so many people that get stuck on, my website isn't ready. Yes. I hate selling. I don't want to do self-promotion.
Yes.
You know, so many of these things. And it's interesting because so many of the things that entrepreneurs get stuck on that prevent them from growing their business are totally irrelevant. And like, I'll give an example of what I mean by that.
Yeah.
I just shared the website one, which most people aren't even looking at your website before they buy from you at this point. You know, they're following you on social media. They're getting on your list. They're engaging with you however you give people an opportunity to do so. But beyond that, you know, people will say, like, you know, they can't raise their prices because of competition, or they can't charge that because, you know, XYZ person isn't charging that. And it's actually, many times with pricing, it's almost a reverse. It's like a counterintuitive thing. Mm-hmm. You undercharge, you misposition yourself in the market.
Yeah.
You know, you don't charge, you know, as much as the competitor, you're automatically placing yourself down in a lower tier, in a lower caliber in terms of where you're seen, the positioning that you're giving yourself as an authority in that niche or in that industry. And I think that's the part of this whole thing that people don't understand, is that what you charge says a lot about your brand.
Yeah.
It positions you in your niche. And where you position yourself in your niche is so important, because if you want to reverse the dynamic of getting prospects coming to you and getting people requesting to speak with you and getting people buying from you while you're sleeping, and getting to that point of attracting clients versus chasing prospects, you have to position yourself as a go-to authority. How do you do that? It's in everything about your brand, including the value that you place on the work that you yourself do.
Amazing. In terms of being an authority, what do you think's the biggest thing? I mean, we talk about personal brand. There's so many elements within that. What have you seen or what have you noticed that has created the biggest impact for people?
Well, number one, I think consistency is absolutely critical.
Okay.
One of the biggest pitfalls that I see out there today is entrepreneurs hopping from one space to another space. Today they want to be an expert in this, tomorrow they're an expert in that. They're just bouncing all over the place, talking about all different things to the point that you don't even know what business they're in or what they do. Right? And so, you know, number one, first and foremost, if you want to become an authority in your field, be consistent.
Yeah.
Like, have the two or three topics that you talk about nonstop, that you focus on constantly, that when someone thinks of that, they think of you.
Yeah.
I think that's number one is consistency. I think number two is just over-the-top value. Mm. Over-the-top value.
Yeah.
And that, you know, is that you have to work as hard at providing the best free content on the market in your field as you do at making sales in your business, because ultimately the sales in your business will directly correlate with the value of the free content that you're sharing. I would say that's step number two. You know, there's the consistency and then there's the value. And then the third big thing is the engagement. So consistency, value, engagement. So you can put out the best content in the world in a blog post or write a social media post or send out a great email newsletter or a great email campaign to your list. But at the end of the day, we all know that's not how people are engaging today.
Yeah.
They want more than that. They want a real human being.
Yeah.
They want to hear you, feel you, see you, get to know you. They want to know whether or not you're someone that they want to have a relationship with. And so the big three, you know, the third big piece of that, bringing that full circle to become an authority in your niche and to charge higher rates and to get clients coming to you, is that engagement. Whether you want to do that through webinars, whether you want to do that through podcasting, through PR, if you want to do that through live streaming, there's so many free platforms out there today to engineer your celebrity and to position yourself that way that no one has an excuse.
Yeah,
it's not like 10 years ago where you needed a studio, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, no one has an excuse.
Yeah.
No one has an excuse. We all have the same equal opportunity. There's no barrier to entry. And it's just about getting out there and doing the work, period.
Yeah. Awesome. No barrier to entry. Love it. Engineer your celebrity. That's very cool, Kelly.
And everybody can do it. Everybody has an equal opportunity. And, you know, that's the big thing. You know, yes, there is sacrifice. There is sacrifice to become a successful entrepreneur. There is major, major sacrifice. You have to be a person that has long-range vision for your life, that can work consistently and persistently towards a goal over a series of years.
Yeah.
And not get distracted and not give up and not lose sight of your dream for your life. But at the same time, the rewards are massive. And that's what I was talking about earlier, the pot of gold on the other end. If it was easy, everyone would be a millionaire. Everyone would have a successful business, and 80% of businesses wouldn't fail in the first 5 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right. So can I just ask you a personal question, actually? Just along your journey, like what was the tipping point or the turning point for you? Like, what was the lowest point and then you managed to turn it around and get to where you are today? How did you get through that?
Oh, man. I feel like in the entrepreneurial journey, there's low points like every few days.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's not just me.
I love it so much. Like, it's the passion of my life. But, Angelina, I will tell you, like, you know, I tell people this all the time. Like, you have to be in it to win it, man. Like, you have to have a thick skin. Because here's why. And I shared this. I was doing a podcast interview today, and they asked me a similar question. And I said, here's the thing. You know, when you're doing online marketing, like, you're implementing something new constantly. If you want to be cutting edge and you want to be a leader in your space and you want to be ahead of the trend and you want to grow a business of substance, you are constantly starting over. You are constantly learning. you know? And so I think for me, it's just as soon as you master one concept, if you want to keep growing, you start back over again. Yeah. And I think sometimes, number one, that's very humbling. You know, because you're starting over again all the time and you have no idea what you're doing, right? So you finally build yourself up and you're like, okay, boom, I have this. And then all of a sudden you're starting over again.
Yeah.
But that's that. So I think for me, you know, that's the struggle. And I think the other thing too is I struggle with, and I'm just sharing a little bit of like my personal nature, which is that like what we're doing right now, like I love this. I love interfacing. I love teaching. I love coaching. I love, you know, the interaction piece of it. But we all know that that's such a small piece of what it takes to run a successful business. And that behind the scenes tactical, technical details. I was working on a sales page today and I emailed Stephanie, my marketing manager, and I was like, I can't do it anymore. Like I have to walk away. Like I can't. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, so I think that we go through these ups and downs all the time. You know, I share a lot the story of the first time I did a webinar and I invested thousands of dollars in working with a coach and I did all this advertising and all this planning and preparation and practice sessions and, you know, the whole works, the whole nine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I didn't make a single sale and it totally flopped. It was a complete bust and I bawled my eyes out. You know, and webinars now for me are like one of my best streams of income. It's, you know, there's something that I do all the time in my business, but I feel like every time you start something new, you fail before you win and you have to be prepared for that or otherwise you're going to fail and then you're going to close up shop.
Yeah.
So you have two choices. You're going to fail and then you're going to keep going until you win or you're going to fail and you're going to give up and then game over. You know what I mean?
I do. I certainly do. Awesome. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about the mindset. Let's now talk about designing that life of freedom. How does one go about that?
Yeah. So I think everything in business is about starting with the end in mind. And, you know, I think people hear that and it's a familiar phrase and they say, oh yeah, you know, I start with the end in mind. Like, I know what you're talking about, but do you really?
Yeah, correct.
Like, I think what happens is we're all moving so fast and the speed of everything today is that, you know, instant gratification, you know, whatever the case, that I think people commit to things that aren't sustainable. I was talking, and I'll give some examples of what I mean, whether it's a sleep schedule where you're having to, you know, compromise getting 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night because you're working all hours of the night and you're having to work 80 hours a week, or whether it's, you know, committing to a travel schedule that you just can't maintain and sustain, that's negatively impacting your relationship or your ability to be a good parent, or, you know, people commit to podcasts all the time and then 6 months later they go away. Because they can't keep the schedule. So starting with the end in mind, meaning what does a life of freedom look like to you? Like, what does your daily life look like? How many hours a week are you working?
Yeah.
Where are you working from? How much are you traveling? Right? Like, all, do you need to be in an office or can you be anywhere in the world? I see so many people that start a business and immediately go rent office space. And I constantly am begging my clients to stop opening office space because what happens is they create a job for themselves. So now they so now they not only have a mortgage at home, but they now have a rent in an office as well. And, you know, for some people, that's the perfect solution and that's, you know, that's what they want. But for most people, I don't know that they actually walk themselves through what they're doing and why they're doing it and whether or not it actually aligns with where they're trying to go and what they're trying to do in their life. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. Yes, I agree.
So I think above all else, it's about being intentional. It's about being clear on what you want. And it's about not committing to things that are not going to be sustainable in the long term of your business and of your life. Like, don't set yourself up to fail. Don't set yourself up to commit to something that you can't follow through on. Mm. And so, you know, obviously in the beginning stages of your business, you're going to have to go outside of your comfort zone and commit, you know, much more time and energy and effort and see less return on investment. And that's an obvious thing. But that also, that also means you can make those short-term sacrifices without creating an unsustainable business model. And those are two very different things. And I think sometimes people miss the distinction. One is short-term sacrifice for long-term gain. The other is about designing your packages, designing your product, designing your business model around your life versus the other way around.
Mm. Yep. I love that. And I think that's the podcast actually I listened to you when you were talking with Peter. That was, you went into more depth around how one does that.
Yeah. And I mean, I've never heard anyone talk about it before, and I don't understand why. Yeah. Like, I don't understand why the first consideration in your business wouldn't be, okay, how many hours a week do you want to be working?
Yes.
How much do you need to be making per hour in order to create that? And then how do you create a package, product, or program that will yield you that amount of money?
Mm.
Instead, people, you know, make up ideas of what they want to sell without doing market research, without getting feedback from their target market, put a slap a price on it, any price, and then try to go figure out how to sell enough of that to get to their income goals. And many times that's why people fail, because yes, you can sell $97 products. You can sell $10 products if you have a big enough audience, a big enough following.
Yeah.
But there's an order. There's an order to things. In the beginning, you need those high-priced clients. You need those multi-$1,000 clients so that you have the resources and the money to invest in building and engaging a big platform and a big audience, so that then when you offer your $97 product, you can sell hundreds or even thousands of that, and it still adds up to the same price point that you would have made for that hour of high-end consulting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Definitely. Definitely. So if a client came to you and wanted to do this, what would you suggest would be the first thing to do, apart from obviously sitting down and getting clear? Because I think you touched on a really good point, and this keeps coming up quite a lot actually in when I'm discussing with successful entrepreneurs about goals and why people don't achieve and things. It's quite often because they don't know what they want, or there's conflicting priorities. So I find two of those things... So they're saying one thing, but their action is completely different. And it's like, all right, well, how much do you actually want this? Because at the moment you're not showing any signs that you truly want this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's. I'm really glad you brought that up, actually. And I want to expand on that for a second, because I see this a lot with entrepreneurs that I coach, and, you know, just in the general dialogue that happens with podcast listeners and, you know, everyone else. So, you know, many times what people say that they want and then what they do are completely disconnected. And then, you know, of course, you're not happy with the result. And what I always tell my clients is, before you say that you want something, you have to make sure you understand the other side of the stick. And the other side of the stick is, on one end, there's what you want.
Yeah.
And on the other end is what you're going to need to commit in order to do that. And I'll give an example.
Yeah.
So say you want to be a highly sought after speaker that goes in and does $10,000, $15,000, you know, keynotes, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, in order to build a career around speaking, you have to be willing to get on a plane and travel to wherever the speaking engagement is, right?
Yeah,
like, you know, not every speaking engagement is going to be in your backyard. Well, there's a lot of people that aren't willing to live that lifestyle. They don't want to live out of a suitcase. They don't want to be on the road all the time. They don't want to be traveling around the country. Well, that's fine, but you have to think that through before you say, I want to be a highly paid speaker. And the same goes for every single category of every single type of business out there. Whether you are someone that says you want to produce a product, but yet don't want to have a warehouse facility where you pay rent and electricity and staff and for machinery and all of those things, like, those two things are incongruent. And so I think that's a really good point that you bring up. And I wanted to expand on it because I see this a lot.
Yeah.
And it's the lack of foresight to actually think through, does what you're saying that you want align with the life that you want to live? And are you willing to pick up both sides of the stick, both what you want and what it's going to take to achieve it?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Cool. Okay. So once they are clear and they've got that, where do they go? Like, how do they then design this life, like reverse engineering it in that sense?
Yeah.
Where would you get them to start?
Well, I would first want to start with understanding, like, what their life goals were and what they want, you know, the life to look like and what is ideal for them.
Yeah.
And then what I would want to do is I would want to match up the skill set that they possess and the experience that they have with what people are willing to pay for as it relates to that skill set. You see what I'm saying? Like, what do they possess and what skill sets and experience do they have? And kind of what's that worth in the market? What are the different variations of that? Like, how can they take that and then begin designing packages? And then, you know, and then from there, you want to kind of think about, okay, we talked about the life plan. We talked about the skill sets that you have. We took a look at the different business models and the different ways that you can bring that skill set to the market. Yeah. Now let's start figuring out, okay, what would an hour of your time need to be worth to align with this life that you're trying to build? And then in the beginning, like I said, in the beginning, you're typically going to be starting off one-to-one.
Yes.
So you would be looking for how can you create a package that delivers value that equates with and is actually worth more than whatever you decide that your time is worth. So if you decide that if you decide you want to be making $500 an hour, well, how do you put together a package where clearly you can deliver value that's, you know, significantly worth more than that?
Yes.
And then what happens is as you start to build a following and as you start to build a platform and have fans and people that are following you, then you can get on a webinar and very easily make over $1,000 an hour for your time. So you went from one-on-one consulting where, you know, you were getting someone to pay you $500 an hour to getting on an hour-long webinar and, you know, making two or three lower dollar sales, but that even equate to more than that. So that's kind of where the whole cycle kind of heals itself. And you can offer lower dollar things because you now have a platform and you now have an audience to bring that to where you can make multiple sales in that hour time. Does that make sense? So, so that's kind of the cycle that you want to be looking at for your business. In the beginning, how do you get that substantial hourly rate for the work that you're doing so that you can live off a portion of that and reinvest the rest of that in the marketing and the growth and the platform building and the advertising and the list growth for your business. Then as you develop those relationships with your market, as you engage them, as you deliver that over-the-top value that we talked about, then you begin engaging them.
Yeah.
And that's where you can raise your rates even more because you can say, okay, an hour of my time is worth X, Y, and Z. And I know that I can get X number of people on the line with me, you know, for this call or, you know, this webinar or this training or whatever the case. And you can continue to raise your rates by making more sales to more people, even if it's at a lower value.
That makes sense. That's awesome. Really cool. Okay, so I'm jumping around a little, only in the sense that I know for some entrepreneurs out there, they struggle a lot, and we did talk about this earlier, about valuing themselves and what they're worth. And so we all know, though, that finances, and if someone's struggling in that sense, in terms of finances, it has nothing to do with finances. It comes back to that person and how they view themselves. So I guess my question for you is, how or where would you start with a person, you know, an entrepreneur that was wanting to have a successful business, they want to charge what they're worth, but they're not actually doing it. So they're not feeling like, they're just not valuing themselves enough. What would you suggest?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to help them, you know, try to understand that they hold the keys to their own kingdom. And I think that too often we get really comfortable with saying the economy, my family, my life circumstances, this happened to me, job loss, divorce, you know, whatever it is. I think people get way too comfortable giving the keys to their own kingdom to someone else. And so the first thing that I would try to do with a client, Angelina, is get them to realize they hold the keys of the kingdom. That every day they're sealing their fate.
Yeah.
And they're either sealing their fate to the good, or they're sealing their fate to the bad. And that they're going to have to decide how bad they want it. And I agree with you, you know, when people are having financial issues, as you said, you know, many times it's more about their belief system and about what's going on, you know, in their head than it is actually about money. And I think the key message that I would share there with, you know, anyone listening or someone that would be struggling with that is that, you know, your old belief systems or whatever you were raised with or whatever shaped your views of the world or whatever made you the way that you are right now that's causing you to struggle, you also have the power to change. Like we can reevaluate our own belief system at any time.
That's right.
And change our beliefs. Like those are things that we get to decide. Like that isn't something that you know, is permanently ingrained in us. Yes, it's something that many times was kind of bestowed on us, even unbeknownst to us at a young age. But it is something that as we get older and once we're mature adults that we have the power to evaluate and separate ourselves from and you know, try on some new and different values and new and different beliefs. And what I always say to people, and I talk a lot about this in my book, Unstoppable, you know, you can't attract something that you despise or resent or resist. And many times the very people that say they want wealth or want success or want a profitable business have maybe resentment or negative feelings towards those that already do. And, you know, that obviously is not going to help you move forward towards obtaining something that you're already resisting and having negative feelings about or towards. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That makes sense. I've never quite heard it in spoken about in that way. But yeah, that does make sense.
And I talk about that a lot because I came from a family that struggled financially, like immensely, immensely. Yeah. It was a part of daily life every single day. And I knew from a very young age that I was going to have to decide. I was either going to live with what I was given and struggle for the rest of my life, or I was going to say, you know what? No. It's not going to be this way. Like, I will make things different for myself. I will create the life that I want. I will create the income that I want. And that's probably why I ended up doing business coaching, because to me, I feel like it's the most direct way to add value in a significant way for people by actually helping them grow their income. Like, I get to see them tangibly start my program and come back to me 3 months later, 6 months later, and say, I doubled my monthly revenue or I added another six figures to my business. And so I love being able to see that direct correlation. And obviously, as I refine my skills as a coach helping other people to do that, I'm also able to refine my skills in doing that in my own business as well.
Yeah, most definitely. That's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing how much you learn through coaching, isn't it? For like, it works both ways. It's not just one-sided. Yeah. That's awesome, Kelly. So is there anything else you'd like to add from what we've covered today? Is there anything that comes to mind?
You know, I think one thing that we didn't talk a lot about is, you know, because we touched on kind of a bunch of different things. We didn't talk a lot about, you know, understanding the skills that you need to acquire to succeed.
Okay, cool.
I think too many times entrepreneurs think that because they're trying hard or because they're working hard, that means that they're going to succeed. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, there are skills that you must acquire to build a successful business.
Okay.
Marketing, sales, copywriting, leadership, recruiting, hiring, team building. You know, there are so many important skills required to build a business of substance. I'm not talking about a 30K a year gig or an 80K a year solopreneur. I'm talking about building a business of substance. You know, someone that wants at least $1 million income. You know, I think that people have almost gotten a little bit entitled in thinking that they work hard, they go on the social media sites, they throw up some posts, and so they're an entrepreneur. And I talk a lot in my book, you know, about the fact that there are skills that you need to learn, that you need to acquire. And I shared with you when you said, like, what are the low points in my business? What are the frustrating things in my business? It's that I'm always working so hard at acquiring new skills. And that's hard work. Yeah, it puts you out of your comfort zone. You're starting over constantly. And I think it's really important for people to understand that you need to go out and acquire new skills, because what it will take you to get to the next level in your business is going to be very different than what it took you to get to where you are right now. And so figuring out what those gaps are for you and having a long-range vision and going out and participating in coaching programs or masterminds or online courses or studying people that are, you know, teachers in different areas, listening to podcasts, whatever it is, you know, you have to acquire skills, real tangible skills, to kind of put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And working hard just simply isn't enough. And I do think it's important to say that, because I think that sometimes people think if they worked a long day or put in a lot of hours, that that means that they're going to succeed in it. And it just doesn't. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Well, it comes back to your point, what we were talking about earlier, about the strategies and tactics.
Yes.
While they're teachable and learnable, you still have to put that time and effort in for doing so. And let's face it, if you're working alone and you don't have much help or whatever, that can be very challenging to get around all those things.
It absolutely can be.
Yeah, definitely. That is cool. Very cool. Seriously, that's just, you've given me so many quotes just in that time that we've been talking.
Oh, good, I'm so glad. That's awesome.
They're very cool quotes. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Kelly. It's been
amazing
talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Movement, where we help you shift your heart and mind to excel in every area of your life. We appreciate any comments and your support. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and subscribe to our latest updates on angelinazimmerman.com.